Good morning. My name is Paul, and it's my privilege to welcome you here this morning to Westminster Presbyterian Church, and we welcome those of you that are joining us online as well. We do have just a couple of announcements for you. First off, you can follow along with our worship service at our website, westminsterpca.net. Out there, again, you can find opportunities to register for the service. You'll find the bulletin there online, and then you can also find an opportunity to give. Our worshiping through giving has moved with the offering plates in the back, so if you'd like to give, you can give that way, but you can also go online and participate. We're also continuing to support the Baby Bottle Boomerang for the Sumter Pregnancy Center, and you can find details for that online also. We still have our Cherokee mission trip that's coming up. We are actively planning that. I think we've got the team locked down. But if you, for whatever reason, have not let me know that you want to go, like, you've got till the end of today, and we'll have a conversation and see if we can work you in. But that team will be heading out October 3rd through 10th, and thank you for all of you who are planning to help provide meals for the team. Officer nominations are going on right now. If you would like to nominate with someone, please contact the church office, and you can complete a nomination form to get their name in. We're nominating men to serve in the offices of both deacon and elder. And then lastly, I want to invite Chris Corson to come up here. We have been supporting missionaries down in Belize, the Stodge Hills, John and Karen Stodge Hill. We sent them out from this church a couple years ago, and we provided them a gift on behalf of our church to their church down there. And Chris is going to share some of the details of how that gift was used.
Thank you. I have a letter here from Hector Sierra to Westminster Presbyterian Church, Sumter, South Carolina, Mission Committee. Greetings in the name of the Lord, and greetings from Bethany Presbyterian Church in Santa Elena, Belize. Hope that all is well amidst this grand pandemic that is affecting the entire world at the moment. Through this medium, we, your brothers and sisters in Christ from Bethany Presbyterian Church, would like to extend our appreciation for all the monies that have been donated to our church. I can assure you that these monies have helped our church and preschool in so many ways. We were able to do two ramps, install two wash hand basins, install five paper dispensers, paint our church inside and outside, bought a refrigerator and microwave for church, built shades over two of our side doors, and constructed a church sign for our church. Your church has invested greatly in our church and preschool, and for that we are greatly thankful, and we at Bethany just want you all to know that the money was well invested and will be used for God's glory. Once again, thanks very much, and may God keep all of you safe. I will conclude with 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. May God bless each and every one of you. Sincerely yours, Hector Sierra."
Good morning. I'm Nathan Thomas. I'm the youth pastor here at Westminster. Please stand as we receive the call to worship. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Let us sing, "All Creatures of Our God and King." This morning we are worshiping not just here, but with saints all around the world who are confessing their faith. So let us confess our faith together from this passage from Ephesians 4. We believe we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as we were called to one hope that belongs to our call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let us continue to worship by singing. Please stand if you are able as we sing the hymn, Bond of Peace.
Good morning again. It's my privilege to pray for us, to lead us in prayer this morning, so I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning, grateful for this opportunity to gather as your people, grateful to gather before our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, we are grateful for this opportunity to turn our minds, to turn our hearts, to turn our affections towards the things of heaven. God, we do just worship you as our God, our provider, as the one who is abundant in goodness. God, remind us to meditate, as the psalmist writes, that we would thank you, the Lord, for your steadfast love, for your wondrous works that you have shown to the children of men. And God, would you remind us that the goodness and the blessings that you pour out on us are for you and for your glory. God, remind us that it all comes from you. And God, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our salvation. God, not to set our hopes on the uncertainty of riches, on the uncertainty of things of this world, but to put our hope in you, our God, who richly provides for us with everything to enjoy. And God, would you remind us that even of the great riches that you have shown us in your kindness that leads us to repentance. And God, would you make us quick to bring to mind our sin, quick to confess it. And even now, God, give us a moment just to confess those sins before you, the things that we know we have done that we ought not to have done, and even those things that we should have done but we did not do. God, let us confess those to you now. And God, as we come confessing, we pray that you would pour out your grace and your mercy upon this church. God, upon your church, upon the church around the world. God, we think of those missionaries who are on the front lines bringing the good news of Jesus to this world. God, we do praise you for the Stodge Hills and for the work that they're doing in Belize. God, we are grateful especially for Bethany Prez and for their letter of thanks and encouragement this morning. I pray that we would be encouraged by their words. And God, we also praise you for the opportunity that this church has to send a team up to Cherokee, North Carolina. God, would you bless the preparations for that? And God, we pray for our community, and we think about Feed My Starving Children and what a blessing that that has been to provide food for those who do not have enough. And God, would you continue to bless their organization, that they would have an impact on our community, on this world, for the gospel. And God, we do pray for our community. Would you give our church wisdom to know how to engage in our community? Help us to love our healthcare workers well. God, continue to strengthen and preserve our doctors and nurses and medical staff as they are on the front lines of battling this pandemic and caring for our community. Help us to be an encouragement to them. And God, we also want to pray for the teachers and administrators as they have a hard task right now of navigating how to care well for and educate our students that are in the public schools. God, would you give them wisdom? And again, help our church know how to partner with them. God, we pray especially for the churches in our community. God, would you be calling men and women and children from across Sumter? For those who love you and have not returned to church and are able, would you encourage them to come back? For those who love you and are not able to gather together right now, God, would you encourage them right where they're at? And God, for those who don't know you, for those who are still afar off, would you make the gospel loud and clear? God, help us to remember that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's present. We can even touch it now. And God, we are a part of it. And help us to be inviting people to come and be a part of this wonderful work that you're doing. God, we do want to pray especially for First Church of the Nazarene and Reverend Greg Presley. God, that you would strengthen that church. God, that you would keep them faithful. God, we pray also for Andrews Presbyterian Church and for Reverend Mark Horn. God, would you especially give that church wisdom as they navigate just the concerns over COVID and the effect that it's having on the church body there. God, would you strengthen their Pathfinders group to be an encouragement to the young men and women in that church. And God, for our church, we do come asking as you, our Father in heaven, and us as your sons and as your daughters, that you would bring healing to those who are sick. God, for those who need surgeries, would you give the doctors wisdom and give our brothers and sisters a speedy recovery? God, for those who are battling major illnesses like cancer and COVID, would you strengthen them? And God, would you help us as a church to love our brothers and sisters well by writing a note of encouragement, by calling to check on them, God, by bringing them a meal, and so many other ways, God, by giving them rides to appointments. Help us to love one another well. God, for those in our church who are going through seasons of hardship, we know that you alone, Holy Spirit, are our great comfort and counselor. So help us to find our comfort and counsel first in you, and then, God, as much as we are able to offer that to one another, would you give us wisdom in how to do that? And God, as we turn our attention now towards your word, I pray that you would be with my brother Stuart as he preaches to us, especially as he brings a new message to us on unity. God, would you prepare our hearts and prepare our minds that they would be fertile soil for the seed of the gospel to take root in order to transform us to be more like Jesus. God, would you root us in the truth of your word? Would you connect us to your grace and your mercy through the work of prayer and fellowship? And God, would you help us to abide in the loving kindness found in union with Christ and with his church for now and for the age to come? And we pray all this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Stuart Mazell. I'm pastor here. It's great to see all of you here, and thank you for all of you who are joining us online. We are starting a new series today called Unity, Out of the Many, One. And we'll be doing this for a few weeks, just trying to address the issue of what it means for the church to be unified. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 133. Psalm 133, and we're going to hear about what unity is really like. And I encourage you, if you want to read along in the scriptures and your own copy, you can read along with me, or you can see it here on the screen. But let's remind ourselves that whether we're reading it in a book or on a screen in our hands or a screen up here, this is God's word, and God has breathed it out for our benefit, so that we know who he is and what he requires of us, so that we know the promises that he has given and also the demands that he places on our lives as our God. So let's hear what he has to say in Psalm 133, which is this. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore. Let me pray for us. Father, you say in your word that it is good and pleasant for us to dwell in unity by your Spirit. Help us to truly believe that, and not simply to believe it on some intellectual level, but to really embrace that belief and pursue the unity that you call us to in a way that will not only honor you, but it would be good for us and good for the larger church community, and yes, even good for this particular community of Sumter. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I want you all to know that as we begin this series, I truly believe that there are all kinds of messages that the church needs to hear, but a message or even a series of messages on unity is something I truly believe we need desperately. And yet at the same time, I stand before you as someone going to preach on this with a little fear and trepidation, a little concern, and honestly, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with it. Because I hate to be pessimistic. I've been pessimistic most of my life about a lot of things. And I don't want to be pessimistic when it comes to unity. But I have to admit, it's hard for me right now. It is hard. When I look at the disunity that is among the church today, it just seems like addressing that is an insurmountable task. It just seems too much. And maybe it would be better just to not talk about it, to not try to push, to not try to lead, to not try to say anything about it. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, well, just think about this. Look at the denominational divisions that there are. We have Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestant churches as big categories. And under Protestant churches, we have Anglicans, Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians. You have the Restoration Movement with Churches of Christ and Disciples of Christ. You have the Church of the Nazarene. You have Pentecostal churches like Assemblies of God and Churches of God. You have the Mennonites, the Plymouth Brethren, the Quakers. And then you have non-denominational churches, which end up being a denomination in and of themselves. And if you think, well, at least we're all unified as Presbyterians, I've got news for you. We're one of the worst of denominations. We belong to the PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America. But when you look at the other list of the alphabet soup that is the Presbyterian Church in America, not the denomination, but the Presbyterian churches, the denominations, besides the PCA, you have the APC, the ARP, the BPC, the CPC, the CRPC, the EAPCA, the ECO, which is the newest one, the Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians, the ERPC, the FPC, the PCUSA, the OPC, the PRC, the RPC, the RPCUS, the RPCGA, the RPCNA, the CPC, which is a Cumberland Presbyterian Church. There's also the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America, and there's the Upper Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And then I found out this week as I was studying for this, there is actually a very small denomination called Westminster Presbyterian Church in the United States. I had nothing to do with that. And that's just denominations. And then there's the fact that there's the consumeristic culture like ours that likes and dislikes play a heavy role in either unifying us or dividing us. We have traditional churches and blended churches and contemporary churches. We have bulletins or screens. We have large church or small. We have traditional church architecture or modern architecture. And whatever floats your boat, that's where we go. And then on top of that, this particular year, we have the response to the COVID-19 pandemic. You have the flatten the curve folks and the focus on the economy folks. You have the maskers and you have the anti-maskers. You have the people who are waiting for a vaccine and the people who will never have a vaccine. You have the folks that believe it's mostly hype and the people who take every precaution they can possibly take. You have the folks who believe that the pandemic is a straightforward health crisis, and you have the people who think there is some dark conspiracy going on behind the scenes. And all of those folks are in the church, in this church. And then you have the political divide among Christians. in this next election. We have those who are going to vote for Trump, and those who are going to vote for Biden, and those who are going to vote for some third party, and those who are going to refrain from voting this year because they don't want to vote for either one. And that's in the church. This church. And that's not to count all the interpersonal conflict and disagreements and personality conflicts and just all the other kinds of ways that something can get in between us and build walls or make valleys, canyons, oceans between us so that we say, maybe it's just better if I go my separate ways and you go your separate ways and we just do this differently because we can't agree. So do you see why I'm a little struggling with this? Why I'm a little pessimistic about even addressing it? And yet, God's word calls us to unity. And therefore, whether I feel personally pessimistic about it or not, whether I personally see it as an insurmountable object or not, whether I personally am struggling with it or not, we have to admit that God calls his people to prize and pursue unity. And that's what we're going to talk about from Psalm 133 today. God calls his people, in the midst of all of the things that could divide us, God calls his people to prize and to pursue unity. That's what verse 1 of Psalm 133 says, right? Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. When all of us together, when brothers and sisters in Christ dwell in unity, it is good. It is pleasant. It is something to be prized. It is something to be celebrated. And it is something to be pursued. Think about those things in your life that you would say, yes, this is good. Yes, this is pleasant. Don't you pursue those things? I've yet to meet a person who said, yeah, you know, taking a bubble bath is good and pleasant, but I never want to take one. You know, having a good meal with friends is something I really enjoy, but I never want to do it. No, when something is good and pleasant, we prize it, we value it, and we pursue it. The real question for us is, do we believe that unity in the body is something to be prized? Something to be pursued. Do we really believe that it is good and pleasant when brothers and sisters in Christ dwell in unity? I want you to see from the psalm that unity is not just good and pleasant. It's not just to be prized and pursued. Unity is a blessing from God. Unity is a blessing from God. That's what these very strange images in Psalm 133 are talking about, right? They are images that do not compute in our culture, because the first one is about pouring oil on someone's head and it running down their beard and getting on their robes. For us, we go like, man, I got to go to a dry cleaner now. I got to wash my hair and get that mess out. Why would you do that? But in their culture, anointing someone's head with oil was a sign of blessing. It was a sign of favor. Think about Psalm 23, for example. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. And you go on further and he says, you, the Lord, anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He's talking about how God is showing favor on him. When God called prophets and priests and kings. He had someone anoint them with oil. Why? Because it was to show blessing upon them, that they were called by God for this purpose. They were shown favor. And so in this passage, when it talks about precious oil on the head, running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes, it's talking about blessing from God and not just a tiny little blessing. You know, let me put a little drop of oil on your head. No, it pours out so that it goes off the head and down the beard and on your clothes. That's what unity is. A blessing from God that spreads the goodness and the wonder and the beauty of unity throughout the entire church. When we experience that, everybody gets some of the good and pleasantness of unity. And then there's the second image where in verse 3 he says, it is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion. Now that sounds strange, right? First of all, you have two mountains, Hermon and Zion, and you got dew falling on one, and somehow it falls on another mountain. What makes it even more strange sounding, if you actually know the topography and the geography of the place, Mount Hermon is in the north of Israel, the uppermost part, and Mount Zion is in the southern part. The idea here, actually, there's over 200 miles distance between the two. And what he's trying to get across here is that dew is a blessing from God. If you think about it, in various passages of Scripture, when God's people sinned and he brought a curse upon the land, one of the things he would say is that he's going to hold back the dew. But this picture shows a dew that starts at the top of God's people and works its way all the way down. So that the dew is spread not just from the top of Mount Hermon, but all the way to Mount Zion, where blessing abounds. For there, verse 3 continues, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing. Life evermore. The unity of Christians, the unity of the body, is a blessing that gives us life. Unity is good and pleasant. It is to be prized and pursued. It is a gift of God to his people. But you know what I've realized, what I've recognized, and I said this to our staff this week, and I believe at least one person laughed at me about it. Whenever you start talking about unity, you actually start to cause division. It's funny how that works. The calls to unity start having everybody saying, well, wait a second, unity at all costs? No, that's not what I said. I just said, pursue unity, not unity at all costs. We're supposed to be unified with people who do that. We're supposed to be unified and pursue unity. Well, anytime people start talking about unity, it's because they want people to get on their agenda. And that's the way it goes. Talking about unity can actually cause division. You know why? Because we all have sinful hearts. We all have that sinful part of us that we want to be our own selves, we want to be our own way, we want to be in our own tribe, we want to be in our own individualistic kind of way. And don't tell me that I'm supposed to be brothers and sisters with those folks. Come on. I don't have anything in common with them. That's the funniest thing to me. What, you don't have anything in common with a flesh and blood human being made in the image of God? and on top of that, recognizes that they too are sinners and that they believe in the Lord Jesus, and you don't have anything in common with them? Come on. But that's what we do, isn't it? There's a certain sense in which we think it's good and pleasant to not be unified, to be in our own tribes, to be in our own cliques, to be in our own groups where we feel safe and secure and we like everybody around us because they're just like us. And God says, no, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are very different than you, and it is good and pleasant. It is to be valued. It is to be prized and pursued to have unity with them too. And I want you to think about this, and we'll talk more about this as we go along in the series, but I want to just hit it head on today, that unity among God's people, it's grounded in Christ. It's not some kind of let's all join hands around the campfire and sing kumbaya moment. It's not that. It's Jesus has united us. Because the Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us, he united himself with us by taking on our flesh. Now we are united to him in his life, death, and resurrection. And I am united to him. And if you believe in Christ, you are united to him. And that means we all belong to the same group. And the scriptures go through all of these different images of unity. We talk about us being the bride of Christ, right? Like in marriage, there's a man and a woman, and the two become flesh. And Paul says in Ephesians 5 that he's actually talking about the church. And that's who we are. We are united with Christ as his bride. There's another image that is prominent in Scripture, and it's that of the body of Christ. Christ is the head, we are the body. And yes, there are many parts. Some people are hands, some people are eyes, some people are feet, some people are little toes. But you know what? We all belong to the same body because we're connected to the same head. And then there's the other imagery that this psalm actually points to, the family of God, right? God the Father is our Father. Jesus is our brother. And we, by being adopted into the family, we're all brothers and sisters. Now, I know that brothers and sisters don't always get along, but that doesn't change the fact that they are still family. They're still family. And then there's even one more that we don't talk about quite as much, but it is still there in the Scripture, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus is building his church brick by brick, and we are all living stones that are being put together to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Even though we're all very different, he puts us together to be one building, one temple. And so as we go forward in the series and we talk about what unity really is, we have to remember that unity begins with Jesus. Our unity as the body, our unity as the family of God, our unity as the church, it is because we are united to Jesus. And because we're united to Jesus, we are also united to one another. And might I just add, whether we like it or not, we really are. But as God's people, As God's people, we are called not just to admit, that might be the black sheep of the family. Or, that's my cousin so-and-so. You know how crazy they are. We don't like to hang out with them. But, they're still family. No. As God's people, we are called to display visibly the unity of the Spirit we have in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the rest of this series. It's not enough to say, we're all one in Christ. Invisibly, in a way that, we all believe, but we can't see. No. That is true. But we are called to display visibly what is invisible. It's what Jesus prayed in John 17, and it's what all of the scriptures are pointing to, that one day we're going to be one people who worship God in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit, and will grow up into the unity of the faith. We're not there yet, obviously. But we are called to display visibly the unity of the Spirit. So here's my question for us today. If that is true, how do we pursue unity? How? We're doing a series, so I don't feel like I have to give you everything that I think will help us. But from Psalm 133, there is one particular way that we can begin to move in the direction of unity. And it's right there in verse 1, right? How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. So one way of growing in unity is to see it as profoundly valuable. To see unity as profoundly valuable, as something we say, unity is good. Unity is pleasant. Unity is something that I prize and value. Unity is something I want to pursue. I know the story of a family who had a daughter. And when the daughter turned a certain age, she had never eaten ice cream in her entire life, right? And she was still young, but she had never had ice cream. And they put the bowl of ice cream in front of her, and she looks at it with skepticism. Because this stuff does not look like what I normally eat, right? And she touches it, and she's like, that's cold. Why would I eat anything that's cold? Every food that I ever have, it's something that's warm. Why would I eat cold things? That's weird. And she didn't want to take it until the mom took just a tiny little bit on the spoon and said, here, just try a bit. And at first she resisted, but then she finally got that little bit of ice cream on her tongue, and then she's like, ooh, this is good. This is yummy. And then both hands go into the bowl, and she's like putting it in her face because she can't help herself. It's so good. It's so pleasant. It's something that she profoundly valued in that moment. That is what we need to be like. If we want to know really how good and pleasant unity among the brothers really is, about how being unified really is something that is pleasant, we need to, first of all, recognize that it is and that we want it. My question is, do you? Do I? Do we really want unity among brothers and sisters in Christ? Or do we think, I kind of like being one of about 25 different Presbyterian denominations in the world and kind of keeping everybody at bay. I think that is just where we need to be. As I said before, I'm struggling with this concept of what unity really will look like and whether it is even possible. But I believe it is. And I believe that unity really will happen one day. And we can be a part of that if we will simply recognize how valuable unity of the body really is. So, let's ask the Spirit to enlarge our vision of how good and pleasant living in unity with God's people truly is. I'm going to pray for us that the Spirit will do just that. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we see that you have breathed out in your word how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity, and we want to believe that. But not just on a head level, not just on an academic level, not just on an intellectual level. No, we want to believe it in the way that we really value unity. So enlarge our vision. Give us a taste that not only is our Lord good, but the unity that He provides, the unity that He blesses us with is good. Help us to see more of Jesus and how Jesus is the one who brings us together. Help us to see that we really are, despite our differences, despite our problems, despite our issues, what we have in Christ is so much more. And fill us, Holy Spirit, that we will not only value and prize unity, we will pursue it with your power in the name of Jesus. And for your glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one true God. Amen.
Let's continue to worship by singing. So please, if you're able to stand and sing How Good It Is.
May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.